الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الله تعالى يقبل توبة العبد ما لم يغرغر أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. அல்லாஹ் சுப்ஹானஹு வ தஆலா கிரியேட்டட் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஹியூமன், அவர் கிரேட் 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 கிராண்ட் ஃபாதர் ஆதம் அலைஹி ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாம். And he ordered the angels to prostrate before Adam alayhi salatu wa salam in his honor. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. Remember the time when we said to the angels, اُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ, prostrate before Adam, in order that you may honor him. The rules, the regulations, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws, the structure of each sharia differs from the other. The roots are the same. Tawheed, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of worship. And practically also, worshipping Him only. Believing that no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause harm or can give benefit to anyone. A wali, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A nabi is also in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qul, O my messenger, say, La amliku li nafsi naf'an wala dharran. I do not possess the authority to cause any harm or give any benefit to anyone. I do not possess the authority to bring goodness to myself only and to remove harm without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا. I do not possess the power to bring benefit to me or to remove harm from me, but only if Allah wishes. These roots, Tawheed, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the fact that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls everything. Whatever good or evil happens in this world, it will happen only with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. To whomsoever he wishes, he will give a son, and to whomsoever he wishes, he will give a daughter. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. And for whomsoever he wills, he will give both, male and female. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَكِيمًا. And whomsoever he wishes, he will leave them childless. All in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shifa, cure from illness, again in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite this dua, adhibil ba's rabban nas, remove the difficulty, O the Rabb of the people. Adhibil ba's, remove the difficulty, remove the pain, remove the illness. Rabban nas, O the Rabb of the people. Ishfi, cure him, give him shifa. Anta shafi, you are the only one who can give shifa. You are the only one who can cure. La shifa'a illa shifa'uk, there is no cure but your cure. So this principle, the principle of Tawheed, this principle that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can cause harm, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can give benefit. This principle that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of worship. This principle that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy to be asked for our needs. This principle has been there right from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam until today, until our last messenger, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as far as the other practices are concerned, the branches of the Sharia are concerned, then one Sharia differs from the other differs from the other. The roots, the beliefs are the same throughout. Believing in the angels, believing in the messengers, believing in the books, believing in the life hereafter, believing in fate. Whatever good or evil happens in this world, it is through the will of Allah. Believing in resurrection after death, believing in Jannat, believing in Jahannam, believing in the revelation. Same old prophets. But the practices, in our Sharia, there are 5-time prayer. It was different with other prophets. In our Sharia, we have to give 2.5% zakat. It's not necessary that all the Sharia possess this same command. Islam initiated with the coming of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Islam was a child at that time. Slowly, 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 slowly it grew. And according to the needs of that particular time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send revelations. Now, after the advent of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam is matured. Islam is fully grown. There is no need for any changes now. Islam has reached its full age, or the age of maturity. Now, these laws, these commands, these branches, these instructions, these revelations will rule until the day of Qiyamah. It is like a small child. When the small child is born, you buy some clothes for the child. After a few months, you have to buy another set because the first set does not fit the child. And likewise, until the child becomes 18, once it is full grown, then he will be able to use the same clothing for many, many days. Because there will be no change in his size now. So in the Sharia, before our Sharia,
in the Sharia's, before our Sharia, the Sharia of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, one was permitted to prostrate before another with the intention of honoring him. It is just like standing up for somebody. If you are sitting down and another friend comes and you stand up in honor for him, this is standing up in honor to somebody, it is permissible. Or you shake hands with somebody in order to honor him, or you embrace somebody in order to honor him, or you kiss somebody on the forehead in order to honor him. In the Sharia, before our Sharia, before the Sharia of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, it was permissible to prostrate before somebody with the intention of honoring him, not with the intention of worshipping him. What do we find in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam wakes up one morning and he says to his father, Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba, wa shamsa wal qamara ra'aytuhum li sajidin. Oh my father, Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba, I saw 11 stars. Wa shamsa wal qamar, and I saw the moon and the sun. Inni ra'aytuhum li sajidin, I saw them all prostrate before me. This was a dream. What was the interpretation? What was the interpretation? After many years, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam becomes the Aziz of Egypt. His family is in Sham. After many years, the father is being informed that your son Yusuf is still alive and he is the Aziz of Misr. The whole family travels from Sham to Egypt, where Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting on his throne, and his brothers, 11 brothers, and his father and his mother, they are all sitting in his company. وَرَفَعَ بَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He made sure that he respected the parents, he honored the parents, and he made sure that the parents were sat beside him on the throne. And the next minute he sees that the father, the mother, the brothers, all of them stand up, they all stand in front of him. وَخَرُّ لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And they all prostrate before him. They all prostrate before him. This was not the prostration of ibadah. Because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could he allow someone to prostrate before him? But this was the prostration of ta'zim, prostration of honor, sajda of honor, which was permissible in the Sharia. So when they all prostrated, and after that when they all got up, what did Yusuf alayhi salam say to his father? وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايِ. Oh my father, this is the interpretation of my dream that I saw in my childhood. I had to clarify this point, especially for the youth, because the thought may occur as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to prostrate before Adam, when prostration is only permissible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, in our Shariat, yes. In our Shariat, to prostrate before someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the intention of worship, only to honor him, is also not permissible. In the Sharia of Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the Sharia of Yusuf alayhi salam, in the Sharia of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, prostrating before something else other than Allah with the intention of worship or shirk, it was impermissible. But prostrating with the intention of honoring somebody was permissible. In our Shariat, that is also impermissible. Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith that we went to a certain country and we saw that the local people there, when they go to the king, when they visit the king, they prostrate before the king. They do sajda. So we said amongst ourselves that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the greatest human. If people can prostrate before their king, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more worthy of our prostration. More worthy of our prostration. So he said, we came and we said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the raw messenger of Allah, when we come in your company, we greet you by saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. If you may permit us, It is our desire. We understand the concept of Tawheed. But it is our desire that when we come to you, we prostrate before you, we do ruku or we do sajda in order to honor you only. And there is no doubt that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain were very, very particular and very firm about the Tawheed. But in our Sharia, precaution is better than cure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that do not commit zina. Allah says, لا تقربوا الزنا, do not come near zina. Allah does not say that do not commit zina. Allah says, لا تقربوا الزنا, do not come near zina. Do not come near adultery or fornication. What is the reference? The reference is being made that do not even look at non-mahram women so that it may lead you to this sinful act. Precaution. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gazes. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Tell the believing women that they should lower their gazes. So this prostration of honor, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had allowed this prostration of honor, what would have happened today? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that prostrating before any being other than Allah is not permissible, whether with the intention of worship or with the intention of honor, when he has strictly forbidden prostration to any other being than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still we find numerous people in various parts of the world prostrating before the graves, prostrating before their peer, prostrating before their sheikh. If after the strict instruction from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find people committing this crime which is disliked by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had permitted the Sahaba to prostrate before him, then what would have happened? So when Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu suggested to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they be given the permission to prostrate in honor, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, لَوْ كُنْتُ آمُرُ أَحَدًا أَنْ يَسْجُدَ لِأَحَدٍ لَكُنْتُ آمُرُ النِّسَاءَ أَنْ يَسْجُدْنَ لِأَزْوَاجِهِنَّ. لَوْ كُنْتُ آمُرُ أَحَدًا أَنْ يَسْجُدَ لِأَحَدٍ. If I was to order anyone to prostrate before another, if I was in my Sharia, if there was any room for one to prostrate before the other, then first I would have ordered, لَكُنْتُ آمُرُ النِّسَاءَ أَنْ يَسْجُدْنَ لِأَزْوَاجِهِنَّ. I would have ordered the women to prostrate before their men. I do not intend to go into the discussion of this hadith because I want to come back to my original topic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember the time when we ordered the angels, أُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ, prostrate before Adam. Prostration, which prostration? Prostration of honor. Sajda of honor, sajda of respect. And some commentators of the Quran have said that the prostration was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam was the direction. When we perform salat, what happens? We have to face Kaaba. Without facing the Qibla, our salat is not permissible. Now we are not prostrating to Kaaba or before Kaaba. We are prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The direction is Kaaba. So some commentators of the Quran have said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ, Allah said that prostrate before me, but your direction will be Adam. That is also honoring Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. فَسَجَدُوا, all of them prostrated, إِلَّا إِبْلِيس, except for Iblis. Now, Iblis was not an angel. Iblis was not an angel. Iblis was a jinn. Kana min al jinn. He was from the jinns. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels, because he was part and parcel of the group of angels, he had been living with the angels for a very long time, so the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was for him too. How do we know that the order was for him too? Iblis himself testifies to this fact, that he very clearly understood that I also have to prostrate before Adam. I will make that clear in a short while. Fasajadu, all of them prostrated, illa Iblis, except Iblis. When he did not prostrate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him the question, Ma manaka antasjuda lima khalaqtu biyadai. Astakbart am kunta minal kafirin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question, what prevented you from obeying my command? What prevented you from prostrating before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? This question from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates that Iblis was also ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prostrate. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have questioned him. And if Iblis had not understood the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would his answer have been? He would have very simply said, Oh Allah, you didn't order me, I am a jinn, you had ordered the malaika. But Iblis did not say that, Shaitan did not say that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, what prevented you from prostrating before Adam? Astakbart, is it arrogance? Am kuntam minal kafirin? Or have you become a rejecter? He did not simply say, Oh Allah, you have ordered the angels and not me. I am a jinn. What did he say? He said, Ana khairum minh. I have not prostrated before Adam because I feel that I am more superior to him. He should be prostrating before me. Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You have created me from fire and you have created him from clay. Fire is more virtuous than clay. This was his analogy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ukhruj minha fa innaka rajim. Leave Jannat. Leave Jannat. Ukhruj minha fa innaka rajim. He said, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Oh my Rabb, andhirni, give me respite, give me chance. Ila yawmi yub'athun, until that day when people will be resurrected, until the day of Qiyamah. Give me a long life. Andhirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Now here, a point worth pondering, especially in the month of Ramadan, in these blessed moments, that here we have Shaitan, who has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a few seconds ago, a few minutes ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him as to why he did not prostrate, and he shows his arrogance and pride, and he says, I am better than Adam. This is the moment of anger and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws him out of Jannat. But look at the conviction that Shaitan had as far as the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. Look at the trust and faith he had that if I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, there is still chance that he will give me. There is still chance. Even at this precise moment he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi, oh my Lord, andhirni ila yawmi yub'athun, give me a long life until the day of Qiyamah, I want to live. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Innaka minal mundhareen. According to our knowledge, you are already from those people who will live till the day of Qiyamah. One opinion of the Mufassirin is, Innaka minal mundhareen. Yes, I have granted your prayer and you are from those people who will live till the day of Qiyamah. And the other opinion is, Innaka minal mundhareen. According to our knowledge, before your prayer, you are already predestined to live until the day of Qiyamah. If Shaitan, in that moment of anger and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he raises his hands and he says, Oh Allah, give me respite until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also knows the intention of Shaitan, why he's asking for this chance. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept his prayer and grant him his wish, then if we, as the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, those who firmly believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these blessed moments with firm resolution, firm conviction, with trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will definitely grant us our wishes, will He not accept our prayers? He will definitely accept our prayers. He will definitely accept our prayers. He is all merciful. He is all forgiving. He is most affectionate. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, through the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ordered his people to give zakat. His cousin brother Qarun was very wealthy. Inna Qarun kana min qawmi Musa. Qarun was from the people of Musa. He was from the qawm of Musa, from the family of Musa. فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ. We had given him such treasures. We had given him treasures. مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. The treasures were so many that just to pick the keys of these treasures, he needed a very large group of people and very, very mighty people who could lift these keys. And never mind his treasures, they would load many camels with his keys only, traveling from one place to another. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the command of zakat, the more wealth you have, the more difficult it is to take out zakat. If you have 200 pounds, it's only 5 pounds. If you have 400 pounds, that goes to 10 pounds. And normally what happens is, when taking out zakat, a person does not look to the figure that will remain behind. He looks at the figure that is going to go out of his pocket. So if somebody is very, very wealthy, then he will be giving out zakat in thousands. But he will not look at the hundreds of thousands that is remaining behind. And as mentioned today in Jummah Salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful. It is He who has given us 100% wealth. It is He who has given us 100% wealth. And at the end of the year, after all the expenses, whatever remains, He says, give 2.5% from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is so merciful, so kind. Spend as much as you want to, as far as you are within the limits of the Sharia. And after spending at the end of the year, whatever capital you have, you give 2.5% from that capital. And then he makes a promise also. He says, "Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqra wa ya'murukum bil fahsha. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla." Shaytan promises you poverty. Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqra, he promises you poverty, wa ya'murukum bil fahsha, and he orders you to do evil, to do bad things. What does he tell you? That if you take out 2.5% zakat, you will become poor. You will become poor. If you don't take this interest money, you will become poor. You will lose out. So he threatens you with poverty. He puts the fear of poverty in your hearts, and he forces you to do those things which are impermissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is his promise. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes two promises. If you take out zakat regularly, if you spend in my path, if you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you spend in masajid, if you spend in madaris, if you spend on orphans, if you spend on widows, if you spend in any cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I make two promises to you. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan. Number one, the hereafter is more important than this world. You have two lives. The life hereafter and this worldly life. So promise number one is for the hereafter, because that is the everlasting life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you spend in my path, wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan, the first thing I will do is to forgive all your past sins. I will forgive your past sins. Wa fadla, and I will double and treble and multiply whatever you have spent and return it to you in this world also. I will return it to you in this world also. So Qarun, when he heard this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as regards to zakat, he started saying certain things about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, this is nothing but tax. This is nothing but tax. He is taxing us. He was trying to wind people. When he did not succeed, he made a plan to humiliate Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He thought to himself that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is the authority at the moment because he is a Nabi. And because he speaks as a Nabi, everybody accepts whatever he says. And it is a reality that he was the Nabi. He had the authority. If I can humiliate him, character assassination, if I can do something to humiliate him, whereby people will disregard his authority, and people will say, no, he can't be a prophet, then there will be no command from him. I will be under no obligation. He rules, so I have to do what he tells me to do, although I am very wealthy. So he made a plot . He said to a pregnant woman that you should put a claim on Musa and you should say that this is his child. Just look at the evil conspiracy of Qarun. He said you should say that this is Musa's child. It's a very long incident. In short, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam questioned her. She put the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in her heart. And he said, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching you. Is that my child? Speak the truth. So she said, no, it is not your child. So why did you say it's my child? So he said, it's Qarun. He is paying me so much money to say this. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam became very angry and he said to Allah that, oh Allah, this man is an obstacle for me in propagating your religion. He is a great hindrance for other people as well. They cannot come on the true path because of him. Oh Allah, do something about him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh Musa, the earth is in your control. Order the earth to do whatever you desire. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, khudihi, O earth, take Qarun in you. Now Qarun started sinking. He sank up to the ankles and he stopped. Now when he saw the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he started crying and weeping. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, I accept you as the Prophet of Allah. I accept you as the Messenger of Allah. I believe in the oneness of Allah. From now on, I will not do anything like this. Please forgive me. But Musa alayhi salatu wasalam again said, khudihi. He sank up to his knees. Again he started crying and weeping. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, khudihi. He went up to the waist. Again he started weeping and crying. The more he was sinking, the more he was weeping and crying. And he was making firm promises to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, khudihi. He went up to the neck. So he said, now when he saw that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is not going to forgive him, he started telling the people that Musa is doing this to me because he wants to take all my wealth. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ordered the earth, that, oh earth, take everything in front of him, his mansion, his palace, his treasures, everything. So everything sank before him.
Finally, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Khudihe, and the earth took Qarun altogether inside. Now look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he beseeched you, he cried to you, he appealed to you 50 times, 100 times, but you did not pay any attention to him. He made a mistake. If instead of you he turned to me only once, I would have forgiven him. So I was saying, if Shaitan at that moment of wrath can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he can say, oh Allah, grant me this wish, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, can he not grant our prayers? He can definitely grant our prayers. Anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun innaka minal munzareen. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the respite, now he is cheeky and he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَاقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ لَاقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will definitely sit for these people on the straight path. I will sit on the straight path and I will watch them walk the straight path and I will try to deviate them from the straight path. لَاقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will wait for them on the straight path. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Then I will come to them from the front. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, from the back. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ, from the right. وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, from the left. I will try my utmost. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And majority of them you will not find grateful to you. Majority of them will disobey you. You will give them wealth, they will not be grateful to you. They will spend in those ways which brings your displeasure. You will give them health, majority of them will not be grateful to you. They will spend their health, utilize their health in those ways which will bring your displeasure. You will give them the ni'mat of youth, they will not utilize their youth in doing good things. Majority of them will go in wrong directions. They will please shaitan, they will please nafs. This is the responsibility that shaitan has taken upon his head. This is the responsibility that shaitan has taken upon his head. That each and every human should go in the fire of hell. Because of this human, because of the creation of this Adam, he has become the cause of me being driven out of Jannat into Jahannam. Now I will make sure that each and every human goes in the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. You will have no authority over my servants. Here, the motto of shaitan, the objective of shaitan, the aim of shaitan is to take people astray, to take every human into the fire of hell, to make every human commit sins which will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to shaitan that you can try your utmost. Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. My servants, those who attach themselves to me, you will have no authority over them. You will not be able to do anything. And shaitan also said, Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlaseen. Those who are purified, those who are your servants, those who are attached to you, those who do their utmost to please you, I will not be able to do anything to them. Shaitan also said. So my brothers, Shaitan is doing whatever he can to take us away from the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from the tricks of Shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from his misguidance.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all strength and firm on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. On that side, shaitan is saying, I will do my utmost to remove them from the straight path. What should be our motto and what should be our objective? Our objective should be that we will do our utmost to remain on the straight path. He is doing his utmost to take us away from the straight path, to lead us astray. And our utmost effort should be to remain on the straight path. And what is the straight path? أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. The straight path is the path of the Anbiya. The straight path is the path of the Shuhada, the martyrs. The straight path is the path of the Siddiqeen. The straight path is the path of the Salihin, the pious people. We have to pay heed to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We must remember that on every step, at every second, at every moment, at every juncture, shaitan is trying to deviate us. Shaitan is whispering into our minds, whispering into our hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ash-shaytanu yajri minal insane majrad dam." Shaitan moves in the human's body. Shaitan moves and circulates in the human body just as the blood circulates. Every second the blood circulates in the body and you get a beat in the heart. Do we even feel? We don't feel. Similarly, shaitan enters the human body and he whispers. He brings evil thoughts in order for us to save ourselves from the deceits of shaitan and from the deceits of nafs. We need to try to practice as much as we can. We need to try and learn the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah want us to do? What does He not want us to do? His commands, His do's and His don'ts. We have to learn these do's and don'ts and try to practice as much as we can. That will fortify us. That is the fort. The amal is the fort from shaitan. When a person practices his deen, when a person follows the commands of Allah, then his relationship is built with Allah. And then he becomes from the servants of Allah. And once he becomes from the servants of Allah, inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan, then shaitan will not have any authority over him. One who detaches himself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not perform his salat, he does not fast, he does not give zakat, he does not frequent the masajid, he does not learn what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are telling us. He is consuming alcohol, he is consuming drugs, he is in adultery and fornication, he is doing all evils, all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered him to refrain from. His relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there. And when his relationship is not there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan will have authority over him. And when somebody repents sincerely, when somebody comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, "Oh Allah, from today I am leaving all the sins. The past is past. Now I am going to make my future bright. I want to build my relationship with you. I want to strengthen my relationship with you." When somebody sincerely repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately forgives all his past sins. Then this person becomes the servant of Allah in reality. And once he is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strengthened, then inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan, shaitan will not have authority over him. So this is where I would like to conclude today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to follow his commands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all his servants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to do as much as we can to remain on the straight path. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the tricks of shaitan and nafs.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from their ambush. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.